And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF Kyle High with you this morning. Hope everybody's having a great day out there. Currently 50 degrees. A chance for some showers and thunderstorms a little bit later on today, starting around 2 o'clock. Again, if things get a little hairy, we will keep you advised. And now joining us on the phone this morning, live from Topeka, is State Senator Virgil Peck. And we were talking off air, Mr. Peck said you wanted to be here today, but you guys didn't even get off the floor until almost 11 o'clock last night, burning quite a bit of midnight oil, huh?
I would much rather be in southeast Kansas this morning, but that's not my opportunity. My responsibility is to be in Topeka and representing the 15th Senate District, so that's where I'm at. We did have a late night, about almost 11 on the Senate side, and then the House was closer to 11:30 last night. I hung around to see them vote. They were voting on the Fairness in Women's Sports Act late last night. And a lot of the things that are going on right now are more, if you will, the heavy lifting or controversial. So they do take time. More and more legislators feel like they need to weigh in, which is fine. That's part of the process. Every legislator is entitled to have their say. And believe me, Kyle, some of them have a lot to say. Whether it's good or bad, they still have a lot to say.
Yeah, that's very true. But, you know, again, that's their right for that. They're representing their constituents of that area and letting everybody know, hey, how their constituents feel for that area. But there were quite a lot of things going on last night. One of the things you did want to discuss was something you guys talked about was the Second Amendment rights, as, of course, that's been kind of a hot topic as of late. And what were you guys up to on that?
Well, on the we are into basically the time of year when we have conference committee reports, which means there's language that's been agreed to between the Senate conferees and the House conferees, and then because any bill has to pass an exact same language before it goes to the governor. But there were two bills relating to Second Amendment. One is House Bill 2089. The other is House Bill 2058. Both have passed the legislature, the House and the Senate. But the 2089 would allow for, and it's not a mandate, even though some would say it is a mandate, it would allow for firearm safety programs in our public schools. Just briefly, if a student is from kindergarten through fifth grade, they would be taught something like the NRA's Eddie Eagle. It doesn't have to be the NRA Eddie Eagle. That's just a good one that's out there. And what that's designed for is pretty much to tell young people, hey, when you see a gun, don't touch, go tell. And what that means is go tell an adult you saw a gun, you saw where it is, and that way the adult hopefully then will make certain that there is no accident or anything happen with that firearm. But it's primarily to help children understand a gun, a firearm, is not a toy. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. And then from sixth grade to eighth grade, there are several choices, including Eddie Eagle, but Eddie Eagle's more for younger. And then ninth grade through senior in high school, some type of a hunter education course or any course that the Wildlife and Parks Department has put together. Because by the time a person's in high school, they should understand that a weapon, a gun, is not a toy. But then they're old enough, they will start handling and hunting. So we want them to safely handle and hunt weapons. So that's what 2089 is. 2058 was actually brought to us by our Attorney General. We've got a situation in Kansas to where our reciprocity agreement with other states on concealed carry license was in danger because some states, several states as a matter of fact, allow for persons under the age of 21 to receive a concealed carry permit. In Kansas currently, you cannot receive a concealed carry permit unless you are 21 years of age or older. So this legislation would do a couple things. One, it would recognize, put in statute that we recognize other states' concealed carry permits, which we do now, but not necessarily all of them. But in addition, it would create a provisional license for persons 18, 19, and 20 years of age so they could conceal carry. There's a couple important factors here, Kyle, I think people need to be aware of. One, currently, if you are 18 years of age or older, you can open carry in the state of Kansas, which means strap a firearm on as long as it is in full sight of anyone who sees you, you're legal. But if you're hunting or you're out and it gets cold or cool, you put a jacket on, now you have concealed that weapon and you are no longer legal. So this would say that if you're 18, 19, 20 years of age, you can receive a provisional license only if you pass all of the training, meaning 8 hours of classroom time, pass a written exam. You must qualify on the range with a firearm, meaning that you can hit a target. You must pass a background check. All of those things, then you can conceal carry. Currently, anyone 21 years of age can conceal carry in the state of Kansas, and you may or may not have a permit. And a lot of people don't have licenses or permits. So that's the basic nut and bolt of those two pieces of legislation. They were somewhat controversial. The one on education for schools, I don't know why it really was controversial other than it's just a topic, but it passed the Senate 31-7, so overwhelmingly passed the House only 79-44. Now, the reciprocity and allowing younger people to conceal carry passed the Senate 30-8, fairly good strong margin, and in the House 80-43. So those are just briefly what we have done as far as Second Amendment. Those go to the governor. We'll see if she's willing to sign either or both of those now.
All right, so kind of updates on those. Also, you guys have been today, what you're going to be dealing with quite a bit today, though, is budget issues, as that's what we were talking about right before we came on air, that today's going to be kind of a budget day.
It will certainly be a budget day. Now, there will be plenty of other pieces of legislation we will be working on, but we will, when we get to the Capitol, I've got the Republican caucus at 9 o'clock. That will be the first thing that happens. The Democrats have their caucus at 9 o'clock. We go to the floor at 10 o'clock, but we're going to start discussing in caucus the state budget. Before I get to the entire state budget, I'm going to mention briefly something that happened late last night on the Senate side, and that is the K-12 funding, or the K-12 budget, if you will. That's Senate Bill 175. That has passed the House 64-59. So it just barely received the necessary votes, have to get 63 in the House to pass anything. It passed. However, on the Senate side, when we voted, it was 19-19, and two senators were not there. On the Senate side, for legislation to pass, it must receive 21 votes. So through a procedural move, we close the roll and will then reopen or get back to voting on that piece of legislation sometime today. The reason that it's controversial, one, Kyle, it spends a lot of money. It spends $4.2 billion of Kansas taxpayer money, and then an additional nearly $2 billion of federal dollars that are spent. So K-12 is receiving around $6 billion for an approximately 480,000 students. And if somebody wants to do the math on that, you can see that the K-12 education in Kansas is a priority of the legislature. We put a lot of money into it. But the reason this was controversial in some people's mind, not mine, but in some people, is because there's a couple things I will just mention, and it had a lot in it, but a couple things. It expands the current tax credit program for students who are receiving funding assistance, scholarships, if you will, to go to a private school. That program's already in place, so it's not something we're newly implementing, but we are expanding it to allow any student. Currently, you have to be in the 100 failing schools, public schools in Kansas, to participate in this program. It's being opened up to any public school student that their parent feels like they might be better served in a different learning environment. They could then participate in this program. But Kyle, the program's capped at $10 million. So it's not like it's going to be taking all of the money or very much money, if any, from public education. I don't think it's going to really take any. So that's some controversial, because people are saying, well, we're taking students from the public school and putting them in a private school using tax dollars. Well, is the educational system for children and their best educational experience, or is it just simply a one-size-fits-all? Another provision in that I personally like, and I think it makes sense, but some don't agree with. We all know how, because of COVID, because of the coronavirus, a lot of students have had to go to remote learning. And we understand that, because particularly early on, we were trying to keep the numbers down as far as spreading coronavirus. But it's been detrimental to a lot of students, and test scores are coming in much lower because students just don't learn as well remotely as they do in a classroom setting. So this legislation would say that a student can receive up to 240 hours of remote learning. But once a school has students that are going over 240 hours of remote learning, which is virtual, online, the school would receive the funding for that student at the virtual funding rate, which is lower than the in-classroom rate. And that's, some think, well, that's not fair. Well, taxpayers should be getting a value for their dollar. So it's just one of those things I'd be glad to expand upon. But the main thing is, if you want students to learn remotely, then we will provide you the funding that pays for their remote learning, rather than providing you the full funding, which would pay for in-classroom funding. So that's it in a nutshell. The budget, I really can't talk a whole lot about because we haven't looked at it. And honestly, that bothers me. They're going to ask us to vote this evening on the budget, and we've only seen bits and pieces of it. I want to get a real understanding of the budget and see, can we taxpayers afford the budget that we're looking at? How much does it spend? Does it spend more than last year? I don't have answers to those. I will before we vote.
Well, and what I want to ask you about the budget, is this something that has to be voted on tonight? Is it something that can be pushed off 1 or 2 days so that everybody can kind of get more of an idea of what is going to be in that budget, or is this something that has to be voted on tonight?
It depends on your definition of has to be voted on tonight. My answer is no, it does not have to be. However, today is first adjournment. When we conclude today, we will, and now we might conclude today as in at midnight, or it might still be today at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, as long as we don't adjourn. It's still Friday. Kind of an interesting little wrinkle. But so if we don't vote on it before we take our April recess, then we could vote on it during the wrap up or veto session, which starts May the 3rd. So this is not the last train out of town as far as the budget is concerned. And I don't know what we will end up doing, but in essence, it depends on who you talk to. Some will say, yes, we have to pass it today. Virgil Peck is of the opinion that if we don't have a clear understanding of it, and if it's not something that we can support, there will be opportunity in early May to pass that legislation, pass a budget.
All right. So, again, that's what is going on with that. Also, we were talking about something about a $500 million bond. And, again, this is pretty interesting what we were talking about off air.
I think so. And I want the listeners to also understand, as we talk about this, that we already have a couple bonds that are out there, and these bonds are for CAPERS. We have a $6 billion unfunded liability in CAPERS, which the reason that is, Kyle, is because back in the 1990s primarily and into the early 2000s, a lot of times the legislature did not make their full CAPERS payment, did not put the money into CAPERS, so we've got a shortage there. The fund is strong. It's solid. It's not going broke anytime soon. It's not like Social Security where the legislature is borrowed from it. Once the money's gone in, it's been in. But House Bill 2405 would authorize the issuance of $500 million in bonds. And what that is borrowing money to put into the CAPERS fund. Just a brief history. In 2004, the legislature bonded or borrowed $500 million and put it into CAPERS, and it's on a 30-year payout. We still owe about $330 million on that bond. In 2015, the legislature bonded, borrowed $1 billion, that's with a B, $1 billion, to put into the CAPERS fund. We still owe about $815 million on that. And then now we're looking to bond another $500 million, and the listeners and yourself can tell from the way that I'm talking that Virgil Peck is not a supporter of all of this bonding and borrowing because, for example, this $500 million we're looking at borrowing here or bonding, Kyle, our annual payment will be about $26 million on the bonds for 30 years. Run that out. We're going to pay, in round numbers, $780 million for a $500 million bond. So I'm not a fan of that. I guess I'm sort of a Dave Ramsey guy. Dave Ramsey's on KGGF every day at 1 o'clock. Very interesting to listen to. And then in the evening, kind of a promotion here for you, Kyle. Now, Dave Ramsey says, debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. It bothers me when legislators bond money because I'm 61 years of age. A 30-year bond means if I'm still around at age 91, then that would be paid off. So I see it as putting debt on our children and grandchildren and sometimes even great-grandchildren. So that has not been signed into law, hasn't fully passed, but it looks like it's on a fast track to pass. I was in the minority. There was only about six of us on the Senate side who opposed this bonding. So I could argue for it. I could explain the reasons why they want it, but for time's sake, we don't have it. I just disagree with the reasons because I think we should, when we have a little extra money, kick a little extra money into the CAPERS fund.
Absolutely. Well, sir, we're pretty much out of time this morning. And I thank you so much for coming on today. We really do appreciate it. And we will talk to you a month from now.
Well, we look forward to it. If anything big breaks, I might holler, but I appreciate the opportunity to visit with the folks and always glad to hear from them if they have thoughts on what's going on in Topeka.
All right. Well, thank you very much, sir. You have a fantastic day.
Thank you, Kyle. You too now.